Well, it was Friday, but now it is Sunday. We have tears of sorrow for Friday, but we have tears of joy for today, because our Lord is risen. For our confession of sin this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to Jeremiah 29. I'm going to read a few verses from Jeremiah 29. This is after Israel had been taken into captivity into Babylon. And Jeremiah had a word to give them. And he said this: "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those who I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number, there do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." A lot of the people who hate this current administration could learn from that. "Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreamers and encourage them to have. They are all prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord." He's basically saying there's no quick fix here. You're in captivity. Learn to live with it. "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Now, so many people have quoted that verse out of context. That verse specifically applies to the nation of Israel, that God is going to bring them out of bondage one day after 70 years of captivity. "Then you will call on me, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." That principle obviously still applies to us today. The verse that we should be thinking of more on Resurrection Day is, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be raised in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. For the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Wherefore, comfort one another with those words." So how do we deal with the fact that we're sinners and that we live in a fallen world? Much like the nation of Israel was in 70 years of Babylonian captivity, we still live in this fallen world. It is a simple fact of nature that once the leaves are off the tree, you cannot put them back again. Once you have uttered words, you cannot rip them out of another's hearing. Once you have acted on a choice, you cannot relive that moment again. Once you have behaved in a certain way at a certain time, you cannot ask for a redo. You and I just don't have the option of reliving our past to try to do better any more than we have the power to glue the leaves back on the tree and make them live once again. What's done is done and cannot be redone, just like the nation of Israel going into Babylonian captivity. We all wish we could live certain moments and certain decisions over again. If you are at all humble and able to look back on your past with a degree of accuracy, you experience regret. None of us has always desired the right thing. None of us has always made the best decision. None of us has always been humble, kind, and loving. We haven't always jumped to serve and forgive. None of us has always spoken the truth. None of us has been free of anger, envy, or vengeance. None of us has walked through life with unblemished nobility. None of us, so all of us, have reason for remorse and regret. All of us are left with the sadness of what has been done and can't be undone. That's why all of us should daily celebrate the grace that frees us from the regret of the past. This freedom is not the freedom of retraction or denial. It's not the freedom of rewriting our history. No, it's the freedom of forgiving and transforming grace. This grace welcomes me to live with hope in the present because it frees me to leave my past behind. All of what I look back on and would like to redo has been fully covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I no longer have to carry the burden of the past on my shoulders, so I am free to fully give myself to what God has called me to in the here and now. But one thing I do, Paul said, a man who killed Christians before becoming a Christian, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus. Are you paralyzed by your past? Are you living in the dark shroud of the if-onlys? Does your past influence your present more than God's past, present, and future grace? Have you received and are you living out the forgiveness that is yours because of his life and death and resurrection? This morning, we have forgiveness because of the cross and because of his death and his burial and his resurrection. And I hope this morning that none of us are living in the past and those past regrets. But if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have to live there. The Bible says in Revelation, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he constantly wants to beat you up with the failures of your past. And all I would say is accept the grace and the mercy that God gives us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your forgiveness, for your grace, and for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you took the death that we deserve. You took the punishment that we deserve. And Lord, we get to go free. I pray this morning, Lord, we would live in that grace. And that would be our motivation to serving you the rest of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.